Joining me today is Dan Harary. He is a musician, drummer, I should say, former stand-up comedian, author, writer, and founder of the Ashbury PR Agency in Beverly Hills. He's here today, which I'm excited. He has released his debut memoir, Flirting with Fame. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Christine. Thank you so very much for having me. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so congratulations. And you've been a publicist, I should say, for over 40 years in the entertainment industry. How does it feel being interviewed or on the other side?
It's the oddest feeling in the world because I have done this for hundreds and hundreds of other people since 1982. And I was a publicist is a behind the scenes person as a rule. A publicist, in my opinion, is like a matchmaker. I'm in the entertainment space, but any publicist is like a matchmaker. In my case, it's me in the middle. I have clients or celebrities or events or red carpets or whatever I'm going to have. Those are the people that have a message or a story or a content or an interview. And then there's me. And then there's people like you, or the New York Times, or People Magazine, or CNN, or USA Today, or AP. That's the media. So most people who are creative, I've had hundreds and hundreds of people that are very brilliant and very creative people. So they're great in their fields, film, TV, video, gaming, music, all those things. But they don't know how to express their message to the media. So when they hire me, I will write up their story for them because essentially I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. I came to LA, I was 24 in 1980. I wanted to be a TV comedy writer. That was my goal. It never happened. I came close a few times, but it just never happened. But along the way, I realized that a publicist is essentially a writer of stories for clients and celebrities and people who have interesting things to say. So when I write up my clients' news, let's call it their news, then I try to match it to the New York Times or People Magazine or CNN or whatever, like you, people like you, podcasters. So a good publicist is sort of a behind the scenes character who is a matchmaker between a message and a media outlet. That's how I see PR.
Yes. And you have music in your DNA. Absolutely.
That's true. That really is true.
Yeah. So tell us, I read in your book, your dad bought your drum set. And this was in 1972?
My dad bought me my drums in 1968.
In 1968.
Well, my dad, may he rest in peace, was a electronics engineer for the U.S. government. But his passion was he played the trombone in big bands like Glenn Miller and Jimmy Dorsey, I forget. But he played big band music. And my mom was a school teacher, but her passion was singing and acting. My mother wrote and starred in plays, and she was a singer, a very noted singer. So when I was a little boy, from the ages of 7 to 10, I played classical piano. My parents gave me piano lessons. But when the Monkees, if you remember the Monkees came on TV in 1966, I was 10, and it completely changed my life. It blew my mind that these guys were playing rock and roll on television. And that's when I fell in love with the idea of playing the drums. So from 10 to 12, I studied drums with various drum teachers. And then when I was 12, I begged my parents to get me a drum set. And they did. And I still have it. It's a collector's item. It's a collector's item. But I played the drums from the age of 10 until now. You could probably see my electronic drums.
Yes.
Are right over there.
Oh my goodness.
This blue one, that's my original bass drum from 1968. I still have it.
So, do you practice every day?
Once every few weeks for two reasons. One is when I'm playing electronic drums, it sounds like tapping, very loud tapping. So my downstairs neighbors, I have to make sure they're not home. And the other thing is I played drums and worked at rock concert halls for so many years that my ears are very sensitive now. So when I play these drums, I have headphones, I can adjust the volume, but I can only take it for about an hour. So I would say maybe an hour every few weeks. But it's so much fun to play because a drummer, I think drummers are born. I don't think drummers are made, drummers are born. I was born a drummer. And I'm still a drummer. It's been 56 years I've been playing the drums. So.
Yes. And Dan, has music sent you or actually, you know, helped you become a publicist? Was that the inspiration behind becoming a publicist?
Well, when I wrote the book last year, I was about to turn 65. And I looked back and realized the very first celebrity I'd ever met in my life, when I was 15, that was singer Richie Havens from Woodstock. I met him when I was 15 and I worked at a rock concert hall when I was in high school. So from age 15 to 18, I worked with Bruce Springsteen, Kiss, Fleetwood Mac, lots of bands before they were famous. I used to ride my bike. I didn't even drive a car yet. So for 3 years, I worked with major, major rock stars. And that just elevated. I'm a rocker from the age of 10. I still listen to The Who and Led Zeppelin and Cream. I still listen to the same 15 songs my whole life. I went to college in Boston and I studied communications. I never intended to be a professional drummer. That was not my calling. My best friend is a professional guitarist and he still plays and he owns a famous nightclub in New York, you know, where Lady Gaga was discovered. But his music was his calling. My calling was writing. I used to write short stories in high school. My teachers always told me how good they were. So when I turned 24 in 1980, I had a friend living on Venice Beach, California. She invited me to live at her house. I slept on her couch for a year when I first came. The goal, Christine, was to be a TV comedy writer. Mm-hmm. So I used to write, they're called spec scripts. If you write a script for a TV show that you're not involved with, but you write for the characters and thematically what the show is all about. For example, I wrote a Seinfeld episode in 1990 or 91 when the show first came up, before it was a hit show. And I got it to the producers and they said, nice job, but we're not going to buy it. So I wrote a lot of spec scripts in the 80s and 90s. Along the way, I stumbled into publicity. PR is, a lot of PR is writing, creative writing. And I met my wife and I had two kids and I had a family. And, you know, you can't support a family hoping to be a comedy writer. You have to make a living. So I stumbled into PR along the way and I'm still doing it. I have my own firm. My firm is 26 years old. I've been a publicist for 40 years. And my book is a creative writing expression. It's my first book. I have three more books coming out in the next 2 years.
Yeah. So when did you decide to, like, when was that pivotal moment? Hey, I want to write the book, Flirting with Fame.
Well, that's really a great question. So really, last spring, I'd say last April, 2021, during COVID still, people were still kind of locked up at home in COVID. And I was looking at my 65th birthday in June. And I'm like, I have a poster of Richie Havens on my wall when I met him. He signed it. I still have it. So I looked at the poster. I said, I met him when I was 15 and I'm about to turn 65. And then the light bulb was 50 years. And then I'm like, okay, that's cool. Then, Christine, I took a piece of paper and a pen. And I wrote down all the famous people I've met in the last 50 years. And there were hundreds and hundreds. As you read the book, there are hundreds of them. When I put them all in the book, I was like, I mean, my paper, I was like, this is a book. So it took me about 3 months to write it. It just came out. I, honest to God, I wrote it for my family and friends.
Oh.
I never in a million years, I wrote it I mentioned to a friend of mine who was an author that I had this crazy book. And he told me about a company in Florida that loves books about Hollywood celebrities called Bear Manor, B-E-A-R, Bear Manor. I emailed the guy, I never heard of him in my life. I told him who I was. Here's a sample of my book. He wrote back 1 hour later, Christina, he goes, here's your contract, let's do it.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
So now it's he and I met last summer. So it's a year, it took a year to digest. I had to get a photos approvals. You saw the photos in my book of me with a lot of celebrities. I had to get photo approvals for all those photos. That took forever. That took about 6 months.
Wow.
So it was a challenge and a chore, but now that I'm on the other side, I'm so glad that it exists.
Yeah. So how does it feel having your memoir out? Like, does it feel surreal? Does it feel like?
I did a book signing I did a book signing Saturday, a few days ago, and all my friends and family came. It was at a Barnes & Noble store in Los Angeles, the biggest bookstore in Los Angeles. And I had quite a few people there, and I called it my second bar mitzvah. It was just really, it was so much fun. People were cheering and clapping and laughing. I have a lot of jokes and funny stories. And at the end, my daughter hugged me and she said, Dad, what'd you think? And I said, this is one of the best days of my life. So it was meant to be. It is surreal. I'm thrilled that I lived long enough to see this day. I wish my dad had lived long enough to see this day.
Yes. And tell us some of the highlights in the book.
From the book?
Yes.
Well, I think the highlights are, there's so many just serendipitous, I think would be a good word. I've met a lot of celebrities because of Hollywood events, but I've met a lot of celebrities just from real life. And none of my friends have. It's just it just seems to happen to me. But, you know, and looking back at 50 years, I worked with Bruce Springsteen in 1973 when I was 16 and he was not famous at all. He used to sleep on the beach. He didn't have a car. He had nothing. So I worked with Bruce Springsteen when I was in high school. I met Jerry Seinfeld in 1981 at a car wash, 12 years before he was famous. The funny stories are I asked Arnold Schwarzenegger for an autograph for my son and he did not want to give it to me. And he snarled and growled at me and he did not want to give me an autograph. And I just said, please, Arnold, my son is 8 years old. Come on. You can do it. You can do it, Arnold. You can do it. He's like he did not want to do it. And I was not going to give up. So I got the autograph for my son. When I met Meryl Streep, I was so nervous. I called her the wrong name. I was shaking her hand and I called her a different name. I called her the name of the woman standing next to me, Carla, because I was so nervous about meeting Meryl Streep. I'm shaking Meryl Streep's hand. And I said, hi, Carla. My name is Dan. Carla, to Meryl Streep. And she looked at me like, you know, the RCA Victor dog, you know. What? So, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. I have a funny story about her on a red carpet. She had a new dress with a sales tag sticking out of her dress. And I had all of the world's media, CNN and New York Times, dozens of cameras. Julia's about to walk a red carpet with a tag sticking out of her dress. So I ran up to her, grabbed her. I go, Julia, you have a tag in your dress. She goes, oh my God, do something. So I ripped the tag off of her dress and we started to laugh so hard we were crying. I've peed in men's rooms with, you know, famous movie stars. It's just serendipitous and funny and offbeat and wacky, but for whatever reason, it just seems like it was meant to be for me. It was like a karmic destiny for me.
Yes, no, it's wonderful, but was there like a really memorable special one, like with Al Gore or someone that really, that you're so happy, like meeting for the first time, or like I mentioned Al Gore or Anne Margaret?
Anne Margaret was a thrill. It was only a few seconds, but I've had a crush on her for 50 years. And when I met her, I literally said, she came my way at an event. My friend had his camera right there. I knew he was going to get the picture. I said, excuse me. I said, I've been waiting 50 years to meet you. Can I get a picture? And she said, oh, isn't that sweet? So I was with her for 15 seconds. But yeah, meeting Ann Margaret was very cool. Meeting Steven Spielberg, I always knew I'd meet him someday. I knew it from when I saw Close Encounters, my favorite movie of all time. His mother used to have a restaurant one block down the street from where I live right now in Beverly Hills. His mom had a restaurant a block from my house. I used to eat there. His mom passed away. Anyway, when I met Steven, I said, Steven, your mother makes the best blintzes I've ever had in my life. And he goes, yeah, you're right. She does. So Steven and I bond. What's that going to say? E.T. is great, or Schindler's List is great, or Jurassic Park. People have told him that his whole life. I told him that his mother made great blintzes. And he said, yeah, you're right. She does. So that was my moment with Spielberg. Meeting Mel Brooks, a huge fan of Mel Brooks. I met him with my mother at an event. My mother and Mel Brooks went to the same high school in Brooklyn. So when I met Mr. Brooks, I said, Mr. Brooks, my mother went to your high school. And they spoke for about 15 minutes about high school in Brooklyn. So I've had some very wonderful moments like that.
Yes. And Dan, what would you like people to take away from your book?
I think the theme really is, and I mean this sincerely, not that there's nothing special about me. I'm a good creative writer and I'm a good storyteller. People are telling me that I'm a good storyteller. I said, okay. My agent says I'm a gifted narrator. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. But I'm like every man. I'm every man who came to Hollywood. I had $6. I had no car. I had no money, no connections, one suit. I had nothing. Mm-hmm. And years, and I knew I would make myself. My father said, you're going to make it in Hollywood. Hang in there. You're going to make it someday. The early years, I was penniless. There were days I didn't have food. So I knew that I was meant to be in Hollywood for whatever reason. And meeting major, major, biggest stars in the world. It's just, you know, I see it, Christine, as every man. I'm not Bruce Springsteen. I'm not Jerry Seinfeld or Steven Spielberg or Howard Stern, who I went to college with. I'm every man. So I'm seeing these Hollywood stars through every man's eyes. And that's why my stories are funny, because I'm not anything great or terrific, but my stories are.
Yeah, and this book is for people who are in the entertainment industry, or for someone who wants to, you know, read from your stories, you know.
Yeah, my best friend Peter said, you know, this book is a must read for anyone who loves the entertainment industry. And I would say, yeah, because I just was behind the scenes for 40 years at so many events companies and red carpets and parties. So if you want, again, I'm like, I represent every man. And if you read it, you'll see how an every man was like meeting Bob Hope and Milton Berle and Steve Allen and getting winked at by Jerry Lewis and spending a day with Mary Tyler Moore. I just stumbled and bumbled and these things happened. And I didn't, Christine, realize it was a book really till last year when I wrote down the names. And I'm like, this is probably a book. It didn't even occur to me till last year. This might be a book. And then the book just happened in 2 seconds. And it really was meant to be. I'm thrilled. It's on Amazon, people. Yeah. Flirting with Fame. It's on Amazon. Please buy my book. That would be great. That would be great.
No, it's inspiring, Dan. Congratulations. And what is next for you?
Well, my next book is a book that it took 42 years to write. 42 years to write, and it's about my history with women. I've been with a lot of women in my life, good, bad, and ugly. It's the women I've loved and lost or never loved at all. And it's called Carrots, you know, like a carrot on a stick in front of a donkey. Yeah. And that's coming out in September, 2 months from now, same publisher. It's a funny, sexy, intense, very, very honest memoir. I was a sex addict for 20 years. It wasn't particularly fun. So I overcame that. I talk about that in the book. My wife and I had problems. We got divorced. That was unbelievably painful. I have two children that I'm close to. But that's my next book. And then the one I'm really excited about next March is a science fiction book called After They Came. And that comes out next March. It's about two aliens who come to Earth and save mankind. And that one I dedicated to my father. And that's the one I'm really excited about.
Wow, that's great. Is there anything else, Dan? I mean, you got your firm still? Like,
I still do PR. I have less clients these days than I used to have. I represent a wonderful Hollywood restaurant called Musso and Frank. It's the most famous restaurant in Hollywood. It's 103 years old. I was blessed when I met the owners. It was kismet, and I've been part of their family for 3 years. So that's one of the great clients I ever had. It's a restaurant. I go there all the time. I can eat there and drink there and take women that I'm chasing after for dates there and birthday parties and celebrations there. I'm 66. I'm slowing down. I'm not what I was years ago.
Wow.
But I still do PR, and I still have the books, and meeting people like you, it's just really fun for me. It's a whole entirely different experience to be on the other side of the curtain, as they say.
Yes. No, thank you, Dan. And if people want more information, get a copy of your book, they can go to your website or Amazon.
Well, go to Amazon and look up Flirting with Fame, and you could put my last name, Harari, H-A-R-A-R-Y, Flirting with Fame, Harari, H-A-R-A-R-Y. You'll find it. There's four versions. There's black and white versions and color versions. or Dan Harari, author. Dan Harari, author, A-U-T-H-O-R, altogether.com. That's my author website.
It was a blast speaking with you today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.